Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I can't think of a better way to bring in St. Paddy's Day than with my good friend who's up early, early this morning on a day of a big old show with free agency, college basketball, hockey, everything else going on. Charles Davis, analyst on NFL on CBS, works with Ian Eagle, analyst for the Madden game for you young people, and he's on NFL Network, and he's doing a lot of other stuff. Charles, good morning. Thank you, brother, for getting up so early.
Good morning to you, Joe. How are you?
Man, when I called you yesterday, before we get going on this, do you usually get up this early?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm up early this quite often, frankly. So
all right.
This is not something where I did something super special, although for you, you know I would do that. But, you know, for the most part, I'm up around this time.
All right. Anyway. Well, I got to ask you, you've done all the AFC East games, and it looks like it's changing in a big way. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to end up with the Jets here real soon. Tua, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it looks like for the first time in a long time, old school, you and I are going to finally see what could be a very competitive AFC East.
Well, there's no question about it. And just watching the moves that are being made, the jockeying that's going on. Look, the Rodgers thing is not done yet, but it feels like it's done. We feel like we're going to it's a fait accompli, and it's, you know, Yogi Berra always used to say deja vu all over again because, you know, Yogi was the king of the malaprops. So we always laughed about that and the whole deal. But Brett Favre came to the Jets from the Packers after dancing with his own team multiple years. I'm thinking about retiring. I want to play. I'm thinking about going. I don't know. Boy, history sure repeated itself, and it's so funny. Both of them went from Green Bay green to New York Jets green. So I'm just counting him as in New York, whether it's now or after June 1st or whatever. I just figure it's going to get done. I don't think either side can afford not to get it done now. And he goes there. Tua comes back. I love the move behind Tua, though, in getting Mike White from the New York Jets.
Right.
Well, we're talking a lot about the Jets today, aren't we? Buffalo is in an interesting position now because you would think they would still be the odds-on favorite, but it just feels a little bit different. They've been through so much up there and haven't found the breakthrough, and then their defensive coordinator decides to take a sabbatical, which is something you just don't hear about in the NFL. All right, you just don't hear about, coach, I'm going to take this year off. I'll be back in 2024. Talk about Leslie Frazier, their DC.
Right.
I don't know what's going to ultimately happen. I asked multiple times, is it health? Because that's the thing that scares me the most, and I've been assured it's not health. So I wish Leslie all the best, but Sean McDermott, he's a defensive coach. I think he'll take over the defense this year. Because to me, I think mentally for Buffalo, they feel like, boy, if we've been pounding on the door, it's like Bum Phillips, we kept pounding, we're going to kick it in this year. And how many times does a coach say in those types of years, I'm going to put it on myself? Kind of like Mike McCarthy's doing in
Dallas.
Right. You know, Kellen Moore's no longer there. Another disappointing finish for Dallas, you know, meaning we didn't get to the Super Bowl, the NFC title game. All right, I'm going to call my own plays. And then last but not least, all right, who are we talking about in the East, right? We're talking about Jets. We've been talking about Miami. We've been talking about Buffalo. Who am I missing right now? Because right now my brain still needs
to be
activated.
That's the New England Patriots.
Oh, the New England Patriots.
Nobody. But
the crazy part for me, Joe, with the Patriots is I'm looking at moves, and 2 years ago they had that big free agent offseason.
Right.
Hasn't exactly paid off the way one would have thought. Hunter Henry's been eh. Jonnu Smith is no longer there at tight end. So they swap out essentially Jacoby Myers going to the Raiders, and they bring in Juju Smith-Schuster, whose numbers have not approached, what, his second, third year in Pittsburgh, where he was well over 1,000 yards. He hasn't come close to that in a while. Yards per catch has been down for multiple years now. I'm not seeing any moves in New England to scare anyone. I said it during a game last year. I think I said it during the Miami game last year. They just don't scare anyone on offense. They don't have that type of a player. I love Ramondre Stevenson, great player. You have to be prepared for him. But on the perimeter, what receiver scares you?
None.
And Tyquan Thornton has to be that guy who they drafted, but he didn't develop that way last year. He'll have to make a big jump this year.
So let's talk about the Dolphins a little bit. First of all, just because between NFL Network and CBS, you watch so much tape. What's your take on Jalen Ramsey? It seems most people are pretty fired up going, hey, the Dolphins still got a corner who can play at a high level.
Yeah, they did. They absolutely did. And I know people are really picking at him, and you start getting into those numbers, 65%, completion against him, this was that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get all of that. I really think it started, Joe, in the Super Bowl, against Cincinnati. You remember in the ball game when Jamar Chase ran that route and ended up wrapping around Ramsey and making the catch?
Right.
And for a corner, when a receiver wraps around you like that, wow, that's a big deal, because that means he's got the extra gear and maybe you don't. Well, it happens. And it doesn't mean that it happens on every snap. And I'm sure Jalen right now, if he heard it, he'd want to, put me a Cobra clutch and say, well, let me tell you what really happened, dude, because I can play and you can't. But here's the bottom line. People started to think he was somewhat vulnerable. The whispers start happening. How many times did you hear last year, Jalen Ramsey, maybe he's going to slide back to safety. He's a proud man, and he can still play. Plus, with Vic Fangio, Vic's going to put him in different spots that make him a better player. He'll play outside corner. He'll go inside into the nickel. He'll play kind of like that star position that people like, where he'll be all over the place and give you what you want. Down and distance will dictate a lot of things, and I think he can still play. Plus, he brings an attitude, toughness that every defense wants to have. And let's be honest, Joe, he listens, he hears, and he's going to take all the negatives and put it into good preparation for this season.
Yeah. It's interesting with Ramsey, X-Man, and Javon Holland. They put that picture up, the Dolphins that stuff, and I was like, wow, that kind of – I know
it,
we got
good,
a few
–
that looked good on paper. Hey, that was a beautiful
that
picture.
Good.
Hey,
I'm with you on that.
I want to ask you about Mike White. We talked a little bit about him. He's from down here. Had a chance. Yep. We had him on the show last week, I think, before he was deciding what he was going to do, and said he'd like to come back home. It ends up where he's here now. What are your thoughts about Mike White coming down here to be the backup?
Exceptional young man, and I think the perfect backup for the Dolphins, especially where he is in his career. Because now he's no longer the fluke Mike White who had that great game against Cincinnati a couple seasons ago, the AFC Player of the Week, and then he was playing against Indianapolis on a Thursday night and got hurt. And guess what? We didn't really see him again because Josh Johnson came in and played well that night, et cetera, et cetera. And then he comes back last year and plays really well because the Jets were floundering. They were struggling. He comes in, plays well, gives them hope that they can finish off the season. And then he got hurt again, and that just told you where they were because they needed him. They needed him in a big way. I just think he's the perfect backup now because the confidence is there that, it's no longer a one-game deal. Wow, that was amazing. I don't know if he can do it again. He's done it multiple times. He gave the Jets great opportunities to win. The offense ran better. The receivers were running around with grins on their faces like, does this offense work?
Right.
And if Tua is unable to play every game next year, and, you know, he catches some flack for that, how many quarterbacks do play 17 in the NFL? It is tough to do in that position. But now, if he goes out with the team the Dolphins have, you believe that Mike White gives you a chance to win every week. You know, he's not just a hold the fort guy. He's a guy that, hey, if he goes out on the field, we're still thinking about winning games. And I think that is huge because, as you mentioned, AFC East is now a fist fight again. It's not New England and Chase as it was for, what, 20 years?
Right.
And in recent years, it's been Buffalo and Chase. Now I think that you're talking about viable teams. Miami took Buffalo to the limit last year. Okay, beat them at home. Had a really tough game against them. What was it, around Thanksgiving or whatever it was. And then, of course, in the playoffs. And every one of those was a heck of a ball game. So it's not like Miami doesn't have a shot. They do. They've got a great shot, and they've gotten better in the offseason. And then, of course, the rest of them, we kind of know where we're all headed on that one. And it's kind of funny because no one wants to say it, and it's understandable. But you could make a really good case going into the season that the fourth team in the division is New England.
Yeah. No, I agree. On paper, it's just an off-season paper tiger, but you're right. It looks like they are the fourth team. So Charles, I want to ask you, because I know you've been covering the draft stuff and starting to get ready for that. Boy, everybody seems to be all over the board on the four top quarterbacks in this thing. It's crazy. Everybody's got their own flavor. I know they all have a little different style. Some are bigger than others. We got one of the most physical, gifted guys we've ever seen. We've got two guys that put up monster numbers. What's your take? Is there one clear-cut guy that could be the first guy for Carolina?
I don't think so, Joe. I don't think clear-cut because of everything you talked about. They come in all shapes, sizes, forms. Well, I know people would say, well, isn't that true with every draft? And the answer is yes. But there's also more of a definitive, this is the guy. All right? When Andrew Luck came out, weren't a whole lot of debates about him other than that late rush about are we rising Robert Griffin up there? And they went 1-2. When Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf came out, wasn't a whole lot of question about it. We can look back now and go, you should have known Leaf was going to be a bust, which we always do, but you don't. But let's be honest about it. Those two at the top of the board, whoever was picking first took their guy. Right. The other team, whoever was picking second was taking the other one. Right? So we have those types of drafts where they are definitively, no question, the guys. In this case, we know who the top quarterbacks are, but what's the flavor for each team? And it's not like it's Trevor Lawrence at the top where you said, yeah, that's the guy. So who do you want? What do you expect out of him? How does your team play? Chicago decided to keep Justin Fields as their guy because there was conversation, hey, trade Justin Fields and get some people and pick your new quarterback. They decided they liked Justin Fields better than the guys coming out, and they would build around him, and you saw the trade with Carolina. There's also talk that Frank Reich, the new head coach of Carolina, has never played with a small quarterback. He's always played with a big guy.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud is bigger than Bryce Young, and I think they are the top two quarterbacks. For me, I think Bryce Young's the best one in the draft, even though he's smaller. C.J. Stroud would be second for me. And then, of course, the fight comes in. Are you banking on Anthony Richardson's potential down the road with only 13 college starts? Or are you going with Will Levis, who has played more in college and is the second most physically gifted quarterback in the draft in terms of, you know, stature and a big arm and the whole deal? And then there's my guy from Tennessee, Hendon Hooker.
Right.
And this is where it gets dicey for me, Joe, because I'm a Tennessee guy and I make no bones about it. So if I say I like Hendon Hooker better than Will Levis, and at this stage, Anthony Richardson, I look like a homer. But guess what? I look like a homer because I think he's better than both of them at this stage.
Yeah.
Now, if you take Richardson and you do the Patrick Mahomes, sit him for a year, get the right coaching, give him a chance, he could very well be the best one in the whole draft because he has every gift you're looking for. But 13 starts is 13 starts is 13 starts, you know. And what I've told coaches, you know, and people, I said, guys, you just got to be prepared nowadays. I think you know this. You're not getting the Bill Parcells formula of 30-something starts and
right.
so many wins and three-year starter and all that. It's not going to happen. Kids are coming out. And how do you tell Anthony Richardson to stay in school when he's likely to be a top 10 pick? That would be irresponsible for anyone, you know, even though for playing status, it'd be the best thing for him. How do you look that young man in the eye and say, well, I know you're going to be a top 10 pick, but you got to go back to school?
Yeah.
He'd look at you like you were nuts.
Right. No shot.
He would be right.
Yep.
He would be right. But for playing, I'm hoping that he actually does sit. And, Joe, that goes counter to what I normally do. Because, you know, normally I say, if you're picking a quarterback early in the first round, you ought to be doing everything possible to have him ready to play on opening day. Forget all this sitting around. And I got a veteran guy. Because everyone says the same thing. And by game three, guess who's starting?
Yep, the new
the rookie.
Guy. Right.
So you might as well start him from the beginning. You're just wasting snaps.
Before I let you go, I know you do the Tennessee Titans games. We still talk about our former quarterback. Is Ryan Tannehill still the starting quarterback in Tennessee?
He is as we sit here right now. Because remember Malik Willis, who they drafted last year from Liberty? They didn't let him start down the stretch. They started Josh Dobbs, the former Tennessee Volunteers quarterback, down the stretch and the playoff game. So, you know, when I get involved with that team again this summer, I'll be saying, okay, so exactly how did you guys go about that, and where is Malik Willis' confidence right now?
That's a good one.
Think about that. He got drafted. They made him the number two quarterback in preseason last year. He was number two all year long. He actually played in a game against Houston where Derrick Henry ran for over 200 yards, and he threw the ball one time in the second half. And then down the stretch, he didn't play. There's a lot to unpack there for a young quarterback.
Oh, you're not kidding.
And then they got to figure that part out. So everyone's wondering who's in the quarterback market. Brand new GM and Rand Carthon. I've got to think Tennessee's in the quarterback market as well. I wouldn't rule them out for taking a look if there's someone they like in particular. I just don't know if they have the capital to go get one.
Well, I'm really curious to see, and I know we got a lot of time for that before the draft rolls around, to see who 4 and 5 are going to be as far as the guys that get drafted. Maybe 3, 4, and 5 in what order and
yeah.
how far they drop in that first round. Charles, I appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you so much, man. Really do.
No problem. No problem, Joe.
You take care of yourself.
No problem.
And stay away from those cold green beers tonight, will you?
You got that right. And you do the same. Be, you know, approach them with caution. and speaking of green, Seattle's got the number 5 pick.
Ooh.
They just re-signed Geno Smith. I know Drew Locke re-signed. But if nothing really bounces around them and they stick at 5, they might think Anthony Richardson there. Because they don't have to play him right away, and then he would
wow.
be prepared to be their quarterback for the future. Just throwing it out there.
All right, that's pretty good. Hopefully Geno's up early this morning. You're getting them all motivated here this morning down here in South Florida. Charles, thank you, brother.
Thank you, Joe. You take care.
You
Happy
too.
St. Patrick's
right
Day.
Back at you, buddy. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.